Hi there, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I just want to come and talk to you a little bit today about the Horror House of Sin. You know, thankfully Halloween's over for another year, and lots of people the last couple weeks have toured horror houses this Halloween looking for some kind of macabre excitement. Because these activities are demonic, they may even have encountered demons, maybe picked up a demon that's going to plague them. I was thinking about this morbid fascination people have towards the gruesome thrills derived from themes of death and horror. Before this horrific evil holiday gets too far away, I wanted to take you through the Horror House of Sin. This is not for your entertainment. It's a warning for you to wake up to the fact that the ultimate destination for sin is hell. That is extreme horror for all eternity, and that is way beyond any thrill that you might be looking for. Before we get into this message, I need to define some terms. Temptation means when Satan offers you a choice to do something wrong or evil. It is enticement to act in disobedience to God's will. Temptation in itself is not sin. When Satan asks you to do something wrong, if you say no, it is not sin. It becomes sin when you say, yes, I will, whether you get it done or not, if you had made up your mind you were going to do it. Sin is a known transgression against the known will of God. You don't sin unknowingly. You know when you violate God's will and you're going against what he wants for you. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. I'm reading out of the ESV today. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, brings birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. In all the world, nothing is more deceiving than sin. You think it's going to satisfy you, but you are left empty, wanting more. Sin enslaves. Know this, only God can truly satisfy your soul's needs. Sin never shows its dark outcome at the beginning. It shows only the bright, happy, exciting images. Sin never shows the hideous and blighting effects it has on the lives of men and women until the damage is done. Alcohol ads always show young, vibrant people enjoying life, never the drunks on Skid Row. Cigarette ads show tough men and beautiful women. But I would like to tell you that the Marlboro man that used to be just such an epitome of masculinity, he died of lung cancer and had a horrible suffering death. Sex and sex products are portrayed as the ultimate experience of freedom and joy. You never see the AIDS victims or people suffering with STDs. Illegal drugs portray the thrilling highs that can be experienced. You know, see this, it'll enhance what you have ever seen before. You know, sin's dooming and damning effects are seen in the lives of lost souls. I was thinking about a friend of mine by the name of Rick Mack and how he lay in his room dying of lung cancer, couldn't even hardly breathe. He had an oxygen tank right there, and yet he wanted to smoke that cigarette. And I couldn't help but think how horrible that he's so hooked up that even in the throes of death, he still has to have his cigarettes. Another man that I knew had to have dialysis 3 times a week. He still was puffing on that cigarette. Today, I want to take a brief tour of the Horror House of Sin. Each year, there are fun, quote-unquote, horror houses set up around Phoenix to celebrate Halloween. There is the Fear Farm, among others, with its horror house just west of where I-10 and the 101 join. These places are supposed to be fun, and that's in quotes, too. I mean, if death, depravity, evil, and hell is fun, then they must be fun. Warning, they are spiritually dangerous and no place for Christians to go. What a wonderful place to pick up a demon. Each room of a horror house displays something intriguing but horrible and evil. Today, I want to tour only four rooms with you. First room shows sin is exciting. The Bible even says this. Hebrews 11:25 said, Moses, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Notice the phrase fleeting pleasures. Sin does not satisfy for long. Oh, there might be a thrill for a little while, but it always comes the time where it's not, the thrill is gone and it's miserable. Some people in the Bible who enjoyed the fleeting pleasures of sin were Belshazzar. In Daniel chapter 5, 1 through 6, King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster on the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand, and the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way, his knees knocked together. Daniel chapter 5, 24 through 28, and this is the writing that was inscribed, Meeny, Meeny, Tinkle, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Meeny, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tinkle, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Daniel chapter 5, verse 30 says, that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed. What started out as fun and excitement suddenly turned into terror and destruction for Belshazzar. The hand writing on the wall. Imagine going through something you just thought you were in charge of, and all of a sudden a hand shows up and begins to write on the wall. I believe if Belshazzar had it to do over again, he wouldn't. The brief pleasure of sin wasn't worth the price that he paid. Herod, Herodias, her daughter, are some other people that thought sin was fun. Mark chapter 6, 22 through 25. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Boy, that sounds like a gory gift. Matthew chapter 14, 1 through 11. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him in to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter. And the king was sorry, but because of his oath and his guests, he commanded it be given. he sent and had John beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, then she brought it to her mother. Herod found the seductive dance of this young girl to be very captivating. He really enjoyed the lustful, sinful feelings he was having. But suddenly the enjoyment was over and the horror set in. Murder, guilt, and torment. In his delirium, he even thought Jesus was John the Baptist alive again. Think of the guilt and shame that all three of these people are experiencing in hell today. I mean, you know, it was kind of like Herod's birthday song. We've all sang it. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Sin and sorrow in the air. People dying everywhere. Happy birthday. Then I found the second verse. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Birthdays come but once a year, marking time as death draws near. Happy birthday. I think that kind of sums up Herod's happy birthday that day. You know, sin is no respecter of people and its exciting power. I mean, take David, a man the Bible says was after God's own heart, and he fell to sin because of its exciting power. 2 Samuel chapter 11, 1 through 4. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go to battle, David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel, and they ravished the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch, was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself for her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. The excitement was brief. The guilt and agony of this sin was prolonged. Psalm 51, 1 through 4, David is brokenhearted because he had broken his connection to God. And he was saying, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. David suffered agony because he had sinned and let God down. I want you to know, there always comes a time of regret after sin. It might seem fun at the moment, but then the regret. Christian, watch out. Satan has set a trap for you. I hear people say, well, I can handle watching smut in the theater or on TV or DVR. I have a friend who, I want to say that I have a friend who put a sign on his television set, would Jesus watch this program with me? Makes you think, doesn't it? I've heard people say, well, I'm strong enough to listen to dirty jokes or read sexy books or magazines. They don't influence me. Oh, don't kid yourself. I roomed with two pastors at PALCON, which was a convention for Nazarene pastors. It was in San Diego at Point Loma University. Well, they kept telling shady stories and laughing and thinking they had a great time. And I said, guys, this isn't right. And they said, well, we're all preachers. We understand each other. I want you to know it didn't matter they were preachers. They were not honoring God. I didn't understand then, and I don't understand now. God's standard is holiness, no matter where we are or who we are with. Kids say, well, I can listen to raunchy music and fill my mind with thoughts on drugs, sex, and hell. It doesn't affect me. Listen to me. You cannot play with fire and not get burned. Sin is exciting, yes. So is handling a rattlesnake. The only way to handle this is to leave it alone. Moses was faced with the temptation of how exciting sin could be when given the opportunity to become part of the Egyptian government, and his thought that maybe he was in line to be the next Pharaoh. But all the delicacies of sin were free for the taking. He did not indulge. Hebrews 11:24-25, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Well, the second room that I want to show you in this spiritual horror house shows that sin is enticing. Sin always unveils the materialistic side of life. This is what people are interested in. Look at the story of Lot. Lot and Abraham had gone into Canaan, and where God said to Abraham he was giving him his inheritance. And God had blessed Abraham and Lot very, very much. They each had such big herds and so much wealth and so many servants that they had to separate because the land couldn't support them. Abraham gave Lot first choice when they decided to split up and start their own ranches. In Genesis chapter 13, 10 through 13, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar." This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and the Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Then the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. That one choice that Lot made was the undoing of him and his family. He made this because he evidently looked and he saw all the wealth and all the greenery and how much better it was. Probably his wife was saying things like, "Well, the kids will get a better education in the city rather than out here in the country." I don't know, but I know the decision he made was his demise. He went into Sodom, and it says he became one of the city leaders. And you know the story. When God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness, Lot and his family had to be led out. Lot's wife turned and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, and they were really punished by the Lord. That one choice was the undoing of Lot and his family. Look at Achan. Joshua chapter 7, 20 through 21, here's Achan talking. He said, "When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with all the silver underneath." He found all that wealth just lying there when they took over Jericho. And it looked so easy to take for himself and so enticing. He thought, who is going to know what that thought? With that thought, Achan cooked his bacon. He stole what the Lord told him could not be his and tried to hide it. And for a brief moment, probably was very excited about the fact he had this treasure. But it ended up costing him, his wife, and his family, and the people around him their lives because he disobeyed. Also, it caused Israel to lose the next battle because there was sin in the camp. Sin brought destruction to Achan and his family. There's no such thing as a private sin. It always hurts others as well. I hear people say, "Well, it's my business what I do. Who does it hurt?" Well, it probably hurts your family. Probably hurts a lot more people than you know that are watching your life. Judas is another one. In Matthew 26:14 through 16, He got his tail in a knot because Jesus wasn't doing what he suggested, and so he decided he was going to at least profit from this. He went to the temple and talked to the Pharisees and the scribes, and it says, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought the opportunity to betray him. That was Matthew 26, 14 through 16. How short-lived his enjoyment was. Those 30 pieces of silver seemed so enticing at first, but their price was so bitter. And I imagine that he's in hell today, remembering what he did, how he betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, for the excitement of being able to get even. The enticement of sin works slowly but surely. It works like leprosy. Leviticus 13:2 says, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priests. Leviticus 13:7-8, but if the eruption spreads in the skin after he has shown himself to be the priest for his cleansing, or to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest, and the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. You know, the drunkard, the junkie, the robber, the AIDS victim with gonorrhea, syphilis, and all these things, they thought it was all fun when they started, found out there was no fun involved at all at the end. It all started small, almost innocently. I was thinking about a couple of the pastors that I knew in the past. One was my district superintendent of the Wesleyan Church on Northwest District, and he got enticed and got in some kind of a sting operation because he had made contact with a young girl. He thought it was an officer of the law, and he went to meet her for some kind of immoral meeting and was caught, and shamed him, shamed the district, shamed his family. He was put in prison. Then I think of a man named Dick Edwards, who was the music director of Nampa First Church. And everybody thought, what a wonderful man. But he, unbeknownst to other people, had gotten into a lustful situation. You know, that's how sin works. It starts in the secret recesses of our heart like a seed and grows and thrives in the darkness of our thoughts long before it's revealed in our actions. It's like when I talked about that dead dog that's hanging in the room. Remember the man down in can't remember where he was. Anyhow, he sold his house for $2,000, wanted to have the privilege of buying his house back. The owner didn't want to sell it back, so he hung a dead dog there in his doorway on a nail that he said belonged to him. And soon the people had to vacate because the dead dog was rotting and stinky and disease laden. You know, sin always looks enticing, but it ends in death. It's like a dead dog hanging in our life. James chapter 1, 13 through 15 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is allured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. The third room I want to show you is that sin is empty. Ecclesiastes 1:2, Solomon, who had just anything, everything that he ever wanted, finally said in Ecclesiastes 1:2, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. God, who cannot lie, warns of the emptiness of sin. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6 says, but she who is self-indulgence, dead even while she lives. Isaiah 57, 20 through 21, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Some people in the Bible can testify this. I'm going to give you the references, and you can look them up yourself if you take the time. But because of the shortness that I have left on this podcast, I want to just tell you what they are and where they are. Read about the Samaritan woman at the well, John chapter 4, 14 through 18. Or the rich man who built barns to hold his surplus, Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21. Read about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32. Let me ask you, are you lonely and empty? You don't have to be. The fourth room shows that sinners can be forgiven and extricated from sin. Revelation chapter 1, 5 through 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This deliverance is possible only through the blood of Jesus Christ. So far, I've covered the more obvious acts of sin and rebellion, but there are seemingly decent people trapped in the horror house of sin, too. People who would never commit adultery or murder, but who harbor bitterness and unforgiving attitudes and hatred towards someone else. Gossipers, cheaters, liars, lustful, on and on. Actually, if you're refusing to submit to Christ's forgiveness and love, you are in that horror house of sin right now. It's my privilege to announce Christ's offer to free you from bondage. This freedom is only for those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. John chapter 8, 31 and 36 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you're in bondage, Jesus Christ can set you free. Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. There's a way out. You don't have to be trapped in the horror house of sin. Stay too long, you'll die. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Years ago, a body was found in the horror house at the Long Beach Amusement Park. The maintenance crew, while doing routine checkups, noticed an extra figure among the wax figures. Someone had committed murder and propped their victim up among the wax figures. Nobody knew how long it had been there. What a horrible place to discover a corpse in the midst of that evil and horror. You don't want a similar fate. You don't want your soul to be placed among the horrors of hell. Jesus Christ is the way out. Let him take the horror away and bring you peace. Let him put his armor on you to protect you from Satan's attacks. The only way to accomplish this is to surrender to God's will. Your will often leads to destruction, the horror house of sin. Christ's will leads you to heaven. I would recommend you confess your sins to Christ. You repent, ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. Father, I'd pray today that you help those that are trapped in the horror house of sin to realize that they can be free, that they can be forgiven, their lives can be changed, and they can look forward to a home and eternity in heaven with you. You said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help those who need you to find you as their personal Savior today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank God we do have an answer. We're not trapped in a horrible predicament that God cannot help us out of. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you know my Gmail address, lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. If you want to text me or if you want to call me, 623-845-2741. If you would like to write to me, it's Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. By the way, if you haven't found it yet, I have a website that you can go to and you'll get to listen to every sermon you want to way back to April of 2020. That website is lowercase Church of the Galilean. That would be churchofthegalilean.com. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. I